Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Awesome. Amen. They always do a great job. Thank God for them. Amen. Yes, Lord. Well, turn your Bibles, if you would, to St. Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter. And I want to share some things with you this morning that I feel God has put on my heart to share this morning. And, we're living in a time now that a lot of things are going on and a lot of things are being said, a lot of things are taking place. But how many know that we got to keep following Jesus? Amen? Yep. Amen. And that's why we got to get a good grip on the Word of God. Because if we don't, how many know the Bible says even the very elect can be deceived? So it behooves us to study the Word of God, get anchored in the Word of God, and study the Word of God, and meditate on the Word of God, and live out what the Word is saying. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, following Jesus, okay? And try to eliminate some of the reading. But I want to start reading. I told you Mark 8, didn't I? Did I say Luke or Mark? Well, excuse me, I meant Mark, okay? Okay, I'm sorry. It's Mark, St. Mark 8, okay? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I always get my scriptures. My wife tells me that all the time. She said, honey, you didn't tell us where you was at. I thought, okay, so. But anyway, it's good to be here. How many know we're living in a great time? You know, I know that, you know, if you look at the situation, you could be discouraged. But how many know we look at those things that are not? Amen? Because if we look at what we see in the world, we could easily become discouraged, distracted, and quit. But how many know we got our anchor and our hope and our vision in Jesus Christ? Amen. So we're looking to Him. Amen. Who is the author and the finisher of our faith? Okay, do you have Mark? Okay, good. I want to begin reading that, and this is a familiar scripture to you, I'm pretty sure, but it says, Jesus, Mark 8:27. Okay. Jesus went out alone with his disciples in a village of Caesarea Philippi. And you know what this, if you read the Bible, you know what's going to take place here. Jesus is asking them, who do men say that I am? You know, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, a prophet. And verse 29, he continues by questioning them. He said, but who do you say I am? Now notice what Peter says here. Peter said to him, you are the Christ. And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them. Now, notice what he said. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And as he was stating this matter plainly, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around, seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind. Now notice what Jesus is saying here. Peter rebukes him and tells him, you know, rebukes him about what he said about being crucified, being buried and raised the third day, okay? So Peter, you know, one scripture says, Peter said, not so, Lord. But in this particular scripture, listen to what Peter's saying. He took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing the disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests. My question to you today as I begin to share the word of God, where is your mind at? What is your mind set on today? Is it what's going on in the world? Is it what's going on around you? Is it what's happening in the world? Is it in the in all the things, the distress that's going on, the pandemic and everything that's going on? Where is your mind at? Because what Jesus is talking to Peter about here, first he rebuked him. Now, he's not calling Peter Satan, but how many know Peter's been influenced by Satan, okay? The word Satan there means to oppose. And what Peter is doing, when Peter rebuked Jesus, what he's really doing is telling Jesus, you're not going to be crucified. You're not going to go to the grave. You're not going to raise the third day. He rebuked him because Peter was being influenced by Satan, the opposer. So Jesus realized, and what we have to realize, saints, is this. Jesus walked this earth just like you and I, being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? We got to begin to grasp that in our thinking, because so many times when we look at Jesus, many times we think, well, that was God's son. That was God's son. God was in him. Yes, God was in him. But how many know Jesus did not pull the God cord? He walked this earth just like you and I, filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, so that he would be an example to us how to overcome this world. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was manifesting the Father to the world, but even by him manifesting the Father to the world, he was an example how we are to live and overcome in this world. That's why we can't get caught up in our mindset be with the organizations and with programs and with these things that people are saying what Christians ought to be and what Jesus is like. If it's not lining up with the Word of God, how many know I got to dispel it? Okay? I got to let it go. So what Jesus is saying here, get behind me. Why? Because Peter was opposing the very plan of God. He was opposing the redemption that you and I are experiencing right now because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter was trying to do away with it, but Jesus said, get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. In other words, Jesus rebuked that spirit that was trying to operate in Peter. Now, I want you to catch this, because Peter had just received a revelation of who Jesus was. So we gotta be careful, church, that even though we receive revelation, that we need to be careful and conscious that we don't allow the enemy to begin to what? Pervert the revelation. Because Peter received the revelation of who Jesus was, and then he turned right around and rebuked him for telling them what was gonna take place. So what Jesus went on to say, he said, listen, Peter, listen to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests. See, and this is where, as a church, how many know we need to be about God's interests? See, that's why God saved you, so that you will be about the Father's business here on earth, okay? Yeah, we're going to heaven, but there is some work to be done. Where? In earth. That's why Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? All right. So now just bear with me a little bit here. I want to share some more things with you about this. Because what happened here was that when Jesus began to say this, he told Peter, he said, look, you're setting your mind on the things of this earth. In other words, your mind is not thinking on the interests of God, but it's this human thinking, the human values. Why? Because Jesus was going about, what Jesus was all about was what? To redeem mankind back to the Father. So what Jesus was teaching Peter here is your mind has not been converted to the things of God yet. You're still interested in the things of this earth. And what we got to understand, the Bible says in Colossians, the 3rd chapter in the 2nd verse, it says, set your minds on things above. Amen? Set your mind on things above. And this is what we got to begin to do. People say, well, you know, you're too heavenly minded. You're no earthly good. But you got to understand something here. He's not talking about going to heaven to have the heavenly mind. The mind that he's talking about is the mind that's been regenerated by the Spirit of God. See, you've been born again by the Spirit. And really what he's saying is that you've been born from above. Now we got to learn how to walk out in our position in the heavenly realm, which is our position in Christ. Amen. So what Jesus is teaching him here, we got to get our minds geared up with the interests of God. Amen. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because if we keep looking at what's going on in the world and we think, hey, this is it. How many know we already doomed? We already defeated. But I got good news for you this morning. God has made you more than a conqueror. We can overcome. Amen. Because the Bible says we can. Amen. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We believe God in spite of what's going on. And I'm going to tell you something. You can change the atmosphere. When you are in right alignment, notice what I said, when you are in right alignment with God, you can change the atmosphere. See, we settle sometimes for what this old system of the world says, this culture is trying to mold us in, but we got to elevate our thinking to begin to think like kingdom kids. Amen? And quit thinking about this earthly realm. Amen? Yes, we're in this world, but how many know we're not of it? Amen? We're not of it. Hallelujah. We're not of it. Getting a little excited. Let me slow down here. Okay. So what he's saying here, then Jesus goes on in verse 34. Now watch this. He says, and he summoned the people, the crowd. He summoned the crowd and with his disciples and said to them, listen, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. Now, I know this ain't popular preaching in this day and time. You know why? Because we have a Burger King mentality. Amen. It's my way. You know, God, you know, it's my way, Lord. Yeah, they talk, but you know, I got to get them back, Lord. It's my way. How many know it's not my way, but it's your way? You got to understand something. Jesus is saying, if any man desire to come after me, do you desire to come after him? Yes. Listen to what he's saying. If you desire to come after him, you must what? Deny yourself. Deny yourself. And this is a problem. You know, this is a problem that we don't want to give in. We don't want to surrender our right to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We will on Sunday, but come Monday, you deserve a break today at McDonald's. Got to take a break. No. I mean, you know, there is no breaks. See, and the problem is this, we don't want to deny ourselves. And I'm going to show you who the self is, because I'm going to tell you something. This goes all around in my church life, in my home life, in my marriage life, in raising my children's life. I got to deny myself. See, and this is a problem. Many a times, we don't want to deny ourselves. We want it our way, okay? We've been programmed to have it our way. But how many know when you came to Jesus Christ, you were bought with a price. And your life is no longer your own, it's his. Amen? He is Lord over our lives now. And what we have to understand, we have to submit to him. And see, a lot of times, a lot of stuff that the devil is doing, if we would just humble ourselves and submit to him, he said, what? The devil would flee. But many a times, we don't want to submit because we don't want to give up the right that we think we have. when you forfeit all your rights when you said, I give my life to you, Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I ask you to come into my life. What are you saying? You're giving him lordship. And many of the times we start out loving God, living for God, loving everybody, but as we begin to journey on, sometimes our love begins to grow cold, and we begin to get cold on God. But we got to get that fire back to burning to where we're in love with Jesus and it spills out on other people. Amen? Now listen what Jesus is saying here. He said, if you desire, you got to deny yourself and take up his cross and follow me. See, the problem is Jesus has given us a commission to follow him. When we follow Jesus, what it means is this. That I follow him in my relationship. I follow him the way he lived. I follow his example. I begin to do what Jesus did. See, this is following him. Some people think, well, I go to church. I'm following. No, that ain't following Jesus. That's coming to the building. Amen. When we follow Jesus, what it means is this, that I follow his example. I follow his example. I follow the way he handled life. I take on the mind of Christ. See, and that's why it's so important, church, that we renew our minds, because if we don't renew our minds, we're not going to know how Christ operated. And this is why we got to renew our minds in the Word of God so that we can take on the mind of Christ and begin to do the things that Christ did. Amen. How many know the world is waiting for the daughters and sons of God to awaken to the things that God said we should be doing? But many a times we are operating in what? A system that had... Oh, I'm off. Man, I'm just going to town. Man, well, I thought my mic was on. My Lord. No wonder I'm hollering. See, y'all know what. Okay. All right. What was that? Okay. Yeah. So the system. See, what you got to understand, you have changed systems. You are not in this world system anymore. You're in the system of the kingdom. And there are different rules in the kingdom. See, if you're going to be Jesus' disciple, you have to follow the rules of the kingdom. See, a disciple is a learner, a pupil. But listen at this, it goes further than that. A disciple is one that takes instructions and make it the rule for their conduct. They take the information that's in the Bible that's being taught, and they make it the rule of their conduct. This is why we see a lot of Christians, you know, doing things, and you say, man, they're supposed to be a Christian. Now, it don't take away. How many know we all have messed up here and there? But that's no excuse. We got to pursue to do what? Walk in what God said we could walk in. We can't use sin as an excuse. Why? People say, well, no, we got grace. How many know the blood of Jesus took care of sin? Grace is to empower you to overcome sin. There is a difference. Okay, so a lot of people are teaching, well, we got grace, so, you know, we got a license of sin. No, 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 that don't give you a license of sin. It gives you a license to overcome sin.
Amen. Amen.
So Jesus is saying, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to follow my instructions, you got to deny yourself. Listen to what he said, and take up his cross. Now, he's not talking about the cross of Christ. He's talking about my cross. There are some suffering. There are some things I'm going to go through that I got to do what? Be crucified. That's right, brother. Die daily to the things of this world. And that's what Paul said. I die daily. How many know Brother Mike was teaching on the resurrection, the resurrected? You know, what we got to understand is a lot of people want the resurrection power, but they don't want to do what it takes to get resurrected. You got to die to have a resurrection. You can't stay intact and have a resurrection life. You got to die to some things.
You know, and the Bible does say that I, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who live in me, who loved me and gave himself for me. I mean, you know, God took care of the sin nature for us. Amen. But now there's a dying out to self. Amen. Those things, those habits, those things that you learned when you was out there in the world doing your thing. I mean, you know, those things still try to humble around and cloud in your mind. You got to die out to those things. Amen. You got to die out to that selfishness. Amen. You got to die out to that bitter anger, those bitter roots and things that are on the inside of you. You got to let the Holy Spirit pull those things up and begin to die out so the garden can begin to flourish the way God wanted to. Listen to what he said, verse 35. He said, whosoever wish to save his life will lose it, but whosoever lose his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Now let me slow down here a little bit and explain to you what Jesus is saying here, to lose your life. What he's talking about is the psuche, the soulish life, that natural life, that life that we were, it's the flesh life that he's talking about. The psuche, the soulish life, the mind, will, and emotions has to be what? Renewed. See, my will has to do what? Be conformed to his will. My thinking has to be conformed to what? His thinking. Amen. My choosing has to be conformed to what? What he's chosen. See, but the soul, the mind, will, and emotions is what he's saying. We got to lose that life so that we can gain what? The Zoe life of God. The life that he's talking about losing is this natural life, the soulish life, this flesh life. How many know that when the Spirit of God started to do things for you, sometimes the flesh want to get in the way? Am I the only one like that? You know, you tell God, God, I just want to love people. And Lord, have mercy, that week come around and it's just like the meanest person in the world come over there aggravating you. And Jesus reminded me, he said, didn't you say you want to love people? Here's your chance. Let the Spirit work now. Because Jesus said this. He said, hey, it's easy to love those that love you. But I'm going to go a little bit further. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Well, I can't love them. Look what they did to me. Look what they did to Jesus. And the Bible said, let this mind that was in Christ be also in you. Amen. He did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the obedience of the cross, even to the obedience when they was rejecting, even to the obedience to where people was talking about him, lying on him. You know, Jesus still, see, he didn't retaliate. But here we are, we're in a place now, the church is, that if we're not careful, I mean, you know, we don't want to get caught up in what's going on in this system. We want to be the answer, but we don't want to get caught up in it in the flesh. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. We wrestle against them. See, it's the spirit behind what's going on, what we need to begin to attack, not the individual. Amen. And what Jesus is saying here is that we got to die out to these things so that resurrection life, as Brother Mike was teaching, so that this life of God can begin to arise in us. But this is a problem. It's up to you. You have to be willing to do it. Well, won't God make me do it? Uh-uh. It's an act of your will. It's an act of your will. That's why he said, you got to lose this life, that soulish life. What's the soul? Mind, will, and emotions. Do you not know when Adam fell in the garden, he began living out of his soul life? He wasn't being led by the spirit. He was being led by the soul life, what he seen, what he felt, how it looked, you know, how it tastes, all these things that was going on. How many know many a times we only receive knowledge through the five senses? That's what we're accustomed to. But now that you're born again, you don't receive it through your five senses. You receive it through the Spirit of God. That's why the Spirit breathed on you and it quickened you so that you'll be able to receive from God. See, God is a spirit. People try to make him out to be a flesh and blood man. Excuse me, but some people say, well, he's white. Some say he's black. Some say he's Hispanic. Some say he's Puerto Rican. Some say he's this. No, he's a spirit. But he has all kind of nationalities. I'm sorry. People are, well, you know, Jesus is. No, he's a spirit. And how many know the beauty of the spirit is he got black, white, Hispanic, Puerto Rican, he got all kind. There's a variety of all kind. Why? Because he's a spirit. And what we have to learn, church, is this, that Jesus is saying we got to deny ourselves. See, the problem is a lot of times we don't want to let go of self. We don't want to let go of self because self has been good to us. I've had it my way all my life, and I ain't about to change. Now, if you want to make it in God, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to change. Why? Because if you don't change, I don't want this rock, this hammer to fall on you. But how many know it's better to do it willingly for daddy to bring out the switch and make you willing. You'll be going around sometimes, Lord, it's just so hard with son. If you'll just turn right and go that way, you'll be all right. But you got to understand, see, these little temperaments that we have, we need to die out to them. You know, Paul said, look, I was a Hebrew, I was a Pharisee, I was all these things, but guess what, Paul? He said, I count all these things loss that I might do what? Win Christ. See, I got to let go of John because John want his way too. But guess what? John, you can't have your way. It's God's way. And what we have to understand, church, is you can't no longer say, well, that's just the way I am. No, that's not an excuse. The Bible says we're being changed from glory to glory. We got to be changed. We're being conformed into the image of Christ. And how do we do that? By the renewing of our mind. You can't no longer make an excuse saying, well, you know, just the way I am. How many know that you're a new creature in Christ? The Bible said, old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Where is the new thing? It's the new life in Christ. It's the new principles that I live by. It's what the Word of God teaches me how to live and how to conduct myself. Amen. I don't have an excuse for sin. How many know sin is not a problem anymore? Jesus took care of sin on Calvary. Amen. The problem is, will I deny myself? And you have to understand your own system. You have to know yourself. Well, I need to deny that. You know, and the problem is I better get back over here. We're just selfish people. We're just selfish. We don't want to do anything but what pleases us. But see, the Bible teaches me that we need to be pleasing him. Amen. See, I can't please myself in Christ too. You know why? Because I know John. I want the easy way out. I don't want to feel no pain. I don't want no rejection. I don't want people lying on me without me retaliating. I don't want people talking about me. I don't want people Xing me out of their circle. I don't want those things. But guess what? I got to die to those things. Why? Because Christ is growing up in me, and my life does not consist on people. My life consists on Christ. And see, the problem is this. Let me tell you what the problem is. Whoa, my time is about to go. Let me tell you the problem. The problem is this. what am I going to get out of it if I do it? That's the problem right there. You know why? Because we think we should be rewarded for what God has already paid for. That's why we don't want to deny. Well, what I'm going to get out of if I deny myself, what God going to do for me? Honey, he done woke you up this morning. Let me tell you what he done for you. He done put food on your table, amen? You got clothes on your back. You got shoes on your feet, amen? Come on now. He's did a lot for us, but what are we doing for him? He took nails in his hand. He took a spear in his side. He took thorns, not no plastic stuff, but real stuff pressed on his head for you and I. And you saying, what am I going to get out of it? You know, and that was the problem with the guy that came to Jesus. They say rich young ruler in one chapter, but he came to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life? He first said, good teacher, what must I do? And Jesus straightened him out real quick. He said, ain't but one good, and that's my Father. Then he goes on, Jesus tell him, he said, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandment. He said, well, I've done this from all my youth. He said, you like one thing. He said, sell all your possessions and give to the poor and come follow me. And you know what? His riches had him so wrapped. His possessions had him so wrapped. To where he said, he went away sad because he had great properties and possessions. And the disciples said, who then can be saved? Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but all things are possible with God. You got to understand something. It is God that's doing the work in us. See, all he's asking us to do is what? Surrender. Surrender. See, and one scripture even says, if you want to be, when he was talking to this rich young ruler, I think it's in Matthew's, he said, if you want to be complete, follow me. See, following Jesus, we got to understand, is not a tiptoe through the tulips. It is a journey. The devil is going to try to get you off the course. But you got to be like Paul. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to finish this course. You know why? Because it's a good course. People saying, well, you know, you only following God because he blessed you. You know, I thank God for the blessings. I praise God for what he's done in my life. But if he never blessed me again, I will still follow him. You know why? Because it's a good life. It is a just life. It is a righteous life. It is a clean life. It is a loving life. It is a peaceful life. That's why I want to follow him, because it's peace of mind following Jesus. That's why the writer said, he that keeps his mind on him will keep him in what? Perfect peace. See, we got to change our mindsets. And when we change our mindsets, things will begin to happen the way the Word of God said it would happen. Yes. Amen? Yes. So it's up to you. You got to make the decision. You got to be willing. You got to give up your will. And this is the case a lot of times, you know, and I don't say this just to be saying it, but I had to learn, John, you got to forfeit that will. You got to let it go. It's God's will. Like Jesus said, thy will be done. The hardest time that he faced and he needed his disciples, they were somewhere sleeping. And Jesus praying his heart out, God, let this pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. Let it go from me, God. Let it pass from me. And then Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. It's not going to always be easy, church. Trust me. There are going to be some times that you're going to have to dig in and say, I know that what God said is true, and I'm going to hold on to what he said. I'm not going to let go of what God said about me. I am more than a conqueror. I'm overcoming this thing of this world. I'm overcoming the lust of my flesh. I'm overcoming the lust of the eye. I'm overcoming the pride of life. Why? Because of the Spirit of God is on the inside of me. The three things that I just gave you, John said, this is what's in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The pride is, I don't want to let go of my will. Arrogant, it's got to be my way. I mean, you know, it's the humble way. The Bible said we need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt us in what? Due season. See, my due season is coming. I just need to keep following Jesus. Because when I follow Jesus, how many know he's going to help me through the obstacles? He's going to help me through the disappointment. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I got to keep following him. I got to keep going with him. See, you got to understand something about as soon as Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost, where did he go? In the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Well, you know, we don't have to go through that no more. Jesus already did it. No. We are following his example, and guess what? If he went through it, guess who else going to go through it? See, the wilderness is going to show what's in you. The wilderness will show what's in you. Amen? You get to, you know, I can talk about myself, you know. Just be a time, you know, that I just, you know, people be doing stuff. You know, people be, you know, in that inner circle, you know, inviting you and doing all these things, you know, and patting you on the back, you know, and I wasn't getting that, and I was upset. Who they think, hey, don't they know who I am? Whoo, big mistake. Big mistake. Man. Holy Ghost said, okay, I got to work on this boy. And guess what happened? Those things began to happen, but then God began to teach me, John, your attitude ain't right. So now you got to change that attitude, son. You got to humble yourself. Who do you think you are? Does this make you better than other people? Yeah, Lord, you know I got to. No, son, you're going to take this humble road. Honey, I learned my lesson to do what? Humble myself. Don't worry about who's doing what. Just keep on humbling yourself. You know why? Because God will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, guess what? Somebody will snatch that rug right off and under and you going down. But if God exalts you, an old devil in hell can bring you down. So following him, denying self. See, self want to be first. Self want to be on top. Self want to be the first one to do this. Self want to be bragged on. See, how well do you know yourself? How well do you know? Are you honest with yourself? See, sometimes we hide from our very selves. No, that ain't me. No, uh-uh. Holy Ghost said, I want that. No, take the other. Don't take the goods. Don't, no, I want to hold on to this. You know, it's almost like one time we was praying for some deliverance. This has been some years ago. Nobody here, so don't worry about it. Nobody here. I'll clear that up. But this lady said, I don't want to let go of that one. I'm thinking, what in the world? And I knew who was talking then. But sometimes the enemy want to lie to you and let you tell you, you need to keep that. How many know if God want it, let it go? You know why? Because God is going to replace it with something much better. And that's the exchange that we're doing, amen? And that's what Jesus said. We got to deny self and take up this cross and follow him. See, we don't want to deny self. You know, we don't want to prefer others before ourselves. You know, it's sad when you see a guy get out of out of the car, walk in the store, and his wife come behind him, and he won't even open the door for her. Uh-oh. I see that, and I'm thinking, man, what is he thinking? I mean, he'd get out of the car, walk in the store, don't open the door for his lady or nothing. He'd just go on in, and here she come behind him, and I pull the door open for the lady, you know. Somebody saying, now you Melon, you need to move on from that now. Move on, move on. But how many know this is how you deny yourself? Amen. See, real life. You got to be willing to give of yourself instead of always wanting to do what? Be served. Be handed to. I'm not saying, see, the problem is this. How am I going to get a reward? See, I learned this years ago. Let me back up. I learned this years ago. Sister Faye, but anyway, if she was here, I still would say it. I told her, I said, I'm going to outserve you. I'm going to outserve you. And she didn't know what I was about because God had started working on me, teaching me how to deny self. And so I started, you know, whatever she asked, whatever she needed, I was just doing it for her. I was just serving her. But for a while, after a while, I got tired. I'm just being honest. I got tired. And you know what the Spirit of God taught me? He said, you are seeking a reward from her, but I'm the one that's going to give you the reward. So I'm saying that to you, this right here. Don't feel like you're doing a lot. Know that God is your rewarder. He's going to repay you for serving. And don't look for it to come through a man or woman, even though they will bless you along the way. But sometimes when we serve and do things, we wonder, when am I going to be served? When am I going to get a break? Don't worry about that. God will reward you when he see that it's time for you to be rewarded. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to deny you. He's going to bless you on time, but through the process. Through the process. And that's why the Word of God says that we don't need to do what? Look out for our own interests. Look out for the interests of others. You know how to train yourself? Start doing for others. I'm not saying this to get you to do anything for me, but just start denying yourself. Even if it's with your wife, if it's with your husband, or with the kids, you know. I'm not talking about giving in to things that they shouldn't be, but I'm just talking about just life. Not always have to be first. I don't always have to, you know, Sister Faye don't always have to do for me. Sometimes I want to do for her. Just do it because I love her. Just want to serve her. Just want to give of myself. Just want to do what? Deny my will of wanting to be what? Served. Amen? Surrender first takes place at the act of our own will. When we bring God to the place where we see, when God brings us to the place where we see who we are and we're willing to surrender that to him, unconditionally, willingly surrendering it to him, the reward will come. See, it will come. See, but you got to understand something, church. We're flesh. But how many know there's a spirit on the inside of us too? And that's where the war is. The flesh don't want you to do what the spirit wants you to do. Paul said, they are contrary to one another, so you won't do the things that you ought to. But see, when you persevere and say, the word says this, and you start obeying the word instead of your flesh, it becomes life. Then it becomes more like just breathing. It becomes like, you know, when you practice something long enough, it becomes what? A part of you. That's why they say when you continue to do things repetitively, you become good at it. Why? Because you're practicing doing it. You're saying no to the flesh and yes to the will of God. No to the flesh, yes to the will of God. Submit to God, resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil. Yes to this, no to that. Amen? And you're growing in your spiritual maturity. You're growing, and then God began to release things to you. Why? Because of the maturity of your walk with Him. See, God is not a waster. He's not going to give you something for you to abuse other people with. But as you mature, God will release. God will release. You say, I want a husband. I want a wife. First, be faithful to God in your single life. Let God work on you. Let God get you ready. Amen. How many know that if you're not faithful over the little things, he's not going to give you something greater. Amen. You got to first be faithful over the little things, and then he said, I will give you what? More or greater things. We got to be faithful in these little things. Amen. Denying yourself, taking up that cross and following him. Not Jesus' cross, but my cross. And follow him. See, religion don't want to follow Jesus. Religion want to play the part. But true believers want to live out of the life flow of God. See, it's not a religious thing. It's a life-giving thing. And that's what Jesus is teaching. Peter, when God, Jesus was telling him, he said, look, you got to follow me. And how many know sometimes when Jesus leads you places, it's not always comfortable. It's not always, Pat laughing, okay. You already know the deal, don't you, brother? But it's not a comfortable place sometimes. But if you would just endure for that season, there's so much more God. I mean, there's something God will invest in you that you couldn't do yourself. See, and that's the whole key. We can't do it ourselves. If I start doing this on my own, it's nothing but religious flesh. But when the Spirit of God do it through me, how many know it's life-giving? And that's where we want to be. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a play actor. I want the real thing. Amen. I want the Spirit of God, because God is real and God is faithful and God will do just what he said. But we have to be willing. We have to submit ourselves and give up the right. Sometimes we got to give up the right, not just sometimes, but all the time when it comes to God. We got to give up that right. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to keep repeating the same thing, wanting a different answer, and you're not going to get it. You go, no, I just cried. No. Do you know God told me one time, and this is God's heaven's truth. He told me one time, I was having a pity party, Brother Jim. Never will forget it. I was telling God how bad they was treating me, how bad this, how bad that. And the Holy Spirit rose up in me and said, your tears do not move me. You know why? Because it was a pity party. And God said, you need to get up and pray. Get in the Word of God and watch what happens. My life hadn't been the same. Why? Because I submitted. I surrendered. I give them myself. And we're living in a society, in our culture, you know, they're trying to take away all these things. Well, you know, you ain't got to do all that. You got to, you know, if the book said, guess what? Do it. See, we got to get back to what the Bible say. Not what I say, but what the Bible say. And the Bible says, deny yourself. Why? Because this flesh is no toy. It will take you some places, cause you to do some things that you'll regret down the road. You wish you had to listen. I'm telling you, the flesh will take you some places that you don't want to go. Amen? Are you all right? Okay. I'm going to stop right there. Who is that? Okay. Oh, well.
y'all laughing at? She said, I needed this, but that's okay, you know. See, y'all think, well, thank you, yes, be quiet now, will you? See, you got to look at this thing, see, you got to watch what you, you know. But you're good, I appreciate that, thank you. I didn't take it that way at all. They laughing at me, it'll be all right. See, I mean, you know, a dead man don't feel stuff. See. But if I was alive, but thank God I'm dead to some stuff. Amen? How many know a dead man can't do what? He can't fight, can he? Huh? Dead man don't feel, you know. But how many know? But if he's alive and you hit him the right way, guess what? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But God bless you. God bless you. I trust that you got some out of what I shared this morning. A little bit scattered, but it's okay. You know, but God is good. And God is wanting to, he's challenging the church to grow up. He's really challenging us to grow up and put away childish things. You know, and that's what I want to pray. How many want that today? Amen. You know, just stand to your feet and we're going to close out. Thank you for watching by live screening and those that are watching, you know, and just wanted to share some things with you this morning about just denying self. Father, we come to you today, Lord, and God, we know that you never asked us to do anything that you won't empower us for, Lord. But God, if you asked us to do it, you would give us the ability and the power to do it, Lord. So, Father, I pray today, Lord, that we would be a people that will grow up, that we will mature in you, Father. Because, Lord, the work has been done. It's been finished, Lord. But, God, now it's time for the church to grow up and mature and be about the Father's business. And, Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you will strengthen everyone that's here today, God, that has said, I want to deny self. And Lord, as we go through this day and through this week that's coming up, Father, there will be opportunities to deny self. And God, help them to pass the test. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.